good.
So what's on your mind? What's happening with Supernova?
I'll start. I think, I mean, we're really implementing Supernova like we always have, and it, I think it's really working. We are starting to see some attraction with new assets coming in, which is good. And so I think we had one account that's like a money market that we lost some assets when, all this hit, just people get nervous and all that's come back in. So now we're back, to positive net new assets and then have some big accounts coming in as well. So things are looking pretty bright on our side from that aspect. And then Sam now, she's getting her number. Do you have your number? Well, in a couple weeks here, she'll have it. But she's completely back on our team. And she's, you know, graduated from the associate program and now is in the FADP program. So.
Okay, good.
Yes. Tyler, you want to add anything?
No, I mean, I think it's the same deal. I feel like Trent and Kim have some really big flows coming in, and I've kind of planted some seeds with some smaller stuff that should really still benefits, you know, in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I just played with a PGA, well, he's going to be a PGA Tour guy this weekend,
That's sweet.
I think we're going to bring that one in. It might be small to start because he's got to stay so cash heavy for all the travel he does and everything, but
that's awesome.
He's got some great sponsorships and things like that behind him. So it might not come in this year. It might be next or, you know, who knows, but he's got, what is it? Steinberg, Mark Steinberg. That's his agent. So
there's
some trust there that he's going to be pretty good.
Really?
So we'll see. Just trying to, Kim and Trent play in a different sandbox than I do. So just trying to keep up.
Well, you know, that guy, the guy that won, I told you that, right? The guy that won the junior tournament at Meridian Hills. He won the national junior tournament that they had there. Was the guy that ended up winning, I think he won a big tournament. Did he win the FedEx Cup?
Dustin Johnson just won the FedEx Cup.
No, it was the week before.
Oh, there was a young guy that won the week before.
Yeah, the week before. Yeah. And he was the one that...
Well, Colin Morikawa won the PGA Championship.
He played here, but he's an Asian. And, I forget his
Morikawa.
Name. Morikawa. Yeah. And he won the tournament in Indianapolis, which
That's
was fun
cool.
to see. Because I remember seeing him, I remember they were driving the green. Anyway, it's fun to see. So these young guys do become famous. You just have to get the right one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's a lot of good golfers out there, and that's, you know. A
lot of good golfers. A lot of good golfers. Anyway, so we have a webinar on Thursday at 12 o'clock your time.
I haven't seen on that, Rob.
With Bill Cates. So it's going to be on, I'm not sure. He's going to ask me a bunch of questions. I'm going to ask him a bunch of questions. So it's going to be interesting.
Have you seen it out on that? Because I don't think I've seen anything yet.
Yeah, but my other clients didn't have anything either. It seems kind of late to not have anything yet.
Yeah.
I don't know how the best way to broadcast things and not get them into the death of, you know, sometimes you just don't see the emails. They get put into spam.
Well, they can go to spam. Yeah, exactly.
I know. Mm-hmm. So I'll talk to Cindy and see what's happening. And we'll send one to you specifically. Because the other group I just had didn't know about it either.
Yeah.
So anyway. So you know, the questions become, you know, what are the really good teams doing and what are the other teams doing? That's what everybody wants to know. The really good teams are maintaining their structure, their process, their five-star model, and are working together pretty well. The other teams, I just had a team on. They're month two, so they've already been through 12 weeks of training, and I had each person, you know, report in based on the five-star model. So director of planning, implementation, brand management, marketing, and leadership. And the director of planning is doing fabulously. They are really a good planning team. They're all on schedule to do the number of plans. I know what they're you know how many plans are each supposed to do. They're doing them well and implementing them, and they love the plan they're using, and that was good. Director of implementation of the planning process, the investment process, the 24 month calendar, they're doing terrific. They love that. They're working hard. They're doing their business. You know, the leadership piece was good. They're doing their, you know, their numbers are good. Their performance is excellent. But then I got to the director of brand management, which is 1242 and rapid response, and they're not doing it. It's like they're 12 month two and they're not doing it. I'm like, what are you doing? Well, I'm just calling. You know, I know who I'm supposed to call every month, and I call them, and then I schedule the next call. I said, you know, that's kind of inefficient, right? You're doing the calling, you're doing the, I mean, you're playing phone tag, you're, well, no, they're appointments. They're appointments. Mm-hmm. And he said, the calls are taking way too long. I said, well, I told you they would in the beginning, right? Because you got a lot to cover and things you haven't talked about. And, oh, by the way, we haven't really segmented either.
You got a segment to begin with as a start.
Mm-hmm. Right. So they have got, you know, 150 clients, and they're, you know, they're trying to call 30, and they're really not scheduling them, and but we're doing great. You know, I'm like, well, you're not really doing, how do you describe your service model? I said, you know, if I like you, I might give you 1242, but if I don't, then you won't get it. So you explain that to a center of influence and explain to them that if we like the person, we'll give them 1242, but otherwise we'll just throw them in a heap and call them when we feel like it, or they can call us. I said, so your brand is not determined by your best client, but by your worst client. So you're missing branding opportunity. Right, you're missing the branding opportunity. Mm-hmm. So you really don't have a brand when it comes to service anyway, and you're not making it easy for your clients or your centers of influence to describe you. So, and they're a good team, and they're a big team, they're very productive, but they stink when it comes to Supernova. Marketing, they're doing well. They said we got our game board up, and we're tracking activity, we're tracking introduction, you know, introductions received, calling our centers of influence. Well, what do your numbers look like? Well, last week we asked for one introduction and we got three. I said, wow. What if you ask for four? You might get 12.
Yeah.
It was kind of, I don't want to be contentious on those calls, but I also don't want to just, you know, tell them they're great, right? You're just doing great. You know, you're just doing great. So they, and the reason I share that is just sometimes you don't know where other teams are. What are they like? You know, what are these teams? Once you look inside, and what are they really like? Well, it's a big team, brothers, and they really, up to now, they really haven't held each other at all accountable. Mm-hmm. That, which is not untypical of teams, right? They typically don't. They just kind of, you go do your thing, I'll do my thing, and we'll, it's, we won't be.
Yeah, equal partners, it's hard, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard when you're friends to hold each other accountable. So you try and make it so that you're not accountable to each other, you're accountable to your role and responsibility inside the team. So, and that's easier than being accountable to each other. So, you know, cause we don't want to insult people and we don't want to make people upset and we don't like confrontation. So we tend to just not leverage ourselves enough. So I would say that that seems to be the biggest difference between teams that are really efficient and ones that look efficient.
Yeah.
And in terms of marketing, they aren't really organized in marketing except for just starting, working with some centers of influence. Usually with teams, it's like one or two people give them all their introductions. It's not like they have got 10 centers of influence. They've got one or two. Right. And it's amazing if they could just get more, what that pipeline would look like if they were able to explain it properly.
Yeah. Anyway,
so how are you guys doing really, and what's really going on?
Yeah, I think we're doing really good. I think it's close to 10 households now we brought in this year, and we're approaching the 1 billion mark on assets, which is huge. That's kind of been our goal, to get to that level. So. Yeah, so that's like real. I mean, you know, that's probably been our two big goals, as far as that goes. I don't know what else. Can you, Sam or Tyler, can you think of anything else? That, I mean, those are probably the two things we've kind of been focused on, and we're still struggling. I mean, I at least still struggle working out of the office. I feel like our team really interacts a lot, and we miss that. I miss that. I don't know if they. Tyler and mm-hmm. Sam feel that way, but miss that interaction, you know, because if you want to talk to somebody, you have to call and get somebody else on the phone. We do team meetings twice a week, Monday mornings and Thursday mornings for a half hour, and those help because we kind of, during the week, we'll write down what we want to talk about on our calls as things right. come up, so we're wasting everybody's time, and that seems to be working pretty well, that we started that process, you know, doing a tracking system, and we go through that on the call, like what's going on with this and this. So that helps, you know, as far as that goes. We've got initiatives on the service side. We're trying to get clients on e-delivery. It's a big initiative for the CA, so we're trying to help push with that. So they're working on that. We're trying to give them guidance on that as far as tracking goes for them. That's a big, you know, push from that aspect. Tyler, can you think of anything?
I wonder what the firm is saving, you know, in terms of mailing statements and things, if they could get everybody on e-delivery. I mean, what that was worth to them. It's got to be.
It's got to be worth a lot, Rob. Because think about how big statements are, especially with a managed account, you know.
They gave us those numbers.
Oh, they did?
At one point when they started pushing that. I want to say, like, if somebody gets everything mailed, it's like, I mean, it was like $30 or $40 per household. By the time they do W-2s and the processing and the timing.
Oh, per year?
That's like $30 or $40 per year.
Yeah, I would think tens of millions of dollars.
I don't know.
Yeah. And, you know, but first people gave pushback because they felt like the internet wasn't secure. But we got clients having problems with stuff not coming to their mailbox or their envelope kind of being ripped. I mean, there's so many, you know, so many issues with that as well. So we're trying to give examples of that when we talk to people.
It seems like Pony Express now.
Yeah.
I mean, when you after you've been on the internet and you get everything on the internet, you're like, wait a minute, was that the Pony Express that we used to have? People coming around by horseback and dropping mail in our box? It seems kind of crazy when you think of it today. Why would we do anything by mail?
Yeah.
I mean, I could see the day when the mail won't even exist except for delivering packages. I mean, why would you send a letter, send a...
I think from a
Go ahead, Tyler.
From a non-metric standpoint, I think a big push has been, Sam's been really good about getting involved with clients because it's really easy to see names, but you don't really connect everybody's names with a client until you're on like a call with them, and then you can kind of register the voice and you might meet them at Yuletide, you know. Right. So Sam's been jumping on calls with Trent and Kim a lot, getting to know clients, and that seems to be going, I think, well. Mm-hmm. One thing I think an obstacle we're trying to really overcome is the bank is just pushing everything at us to try to get us to utilize them much more heavily. And they have customers. We have clients, and there's a big difference. And so trying to figure out.
How does that affect you guys?
Yeah. I mean,
what do they want you to do? And how does that, I mean, you just ignore it, right? I mean, whatever.
We don't tell them we ignore, but we kind of do. I mean,
is it just annoying things, or is there anything of value, or is it what?
They want us to open bank accounts.
That's the dumbest thing I ever heard of.
And they're going to start adjusting comp heavily. Yeah.
Compensation
is going to start being weighted much more heavily on if a client has a checking account or not.
A checking account outside of Merrill.
Yeah. And that way they treat their customers is not, I mean, not at the level of service that we treat ours. And they don't understand.
Why would I ever have a checking account?
Whatever reason they think you need it.
You guys have got to get
you. You need a Bank of America one.
You guys have got to stop this stuff. It's annoying.
Yeah. I mean, well, I think that's why we're not to blame much. I think that's why we're losing some big people that have been around a long time.
Yeah. Is it just checking accounts? Is it savings accounts? Is it, I mean, it's all banking, right? We don't need banks.
Credit cards, yeah.
Well, we've got our credit cards.
Well, they want you to use theirs. And like, so they were supposed to roll out a high net worth one. And that was back in, I want to say March, and we still don't have it. So we have you can't open a Visa Signature card anymore. If you have one, you're okay, but if you want to open one, you can't.
So what about the American Express one? Is that okay?
No, it's gone.
What?
Yeah, you can't offer it. We're in the transition of coming out with one, but they still haven't for months. So like I had a client who wanted to move his credit card over, but he's a high net worth. And I end up just having to open a basic one for them because I can't get, they don't have anything yet. They closed the other ones down and didn't open up something on the other side. And nobody seems to, you know, it's unbelievable.
So who's your lobbyist? Can't you go to your district director and tell them that these guys are really stupid? Stop.
I think our district director kind of eats the home cooking too, so that's the issue.
Who's the district director? Who's your district director now?
Paul Lambert.
Like our
who is it?
Rick Paul Lambert.
Oh,
Paul Lambert.
You're going bigger.
And then Mark Ricca is our new manager here, and he definitely came from the home office. This is his first office assignment.
First office, and he gets a huge office.
Whatever reason, Rob, since you, we have had nobody. I mean, it's just like a revolving door. You know that. It's like, yeah.
Well, I still have all my paraphernalia. Marsha wants me to get rid of it, but I can't.
Maybe you should come back. Take over the indie office again. Yeah, now we're talking. Take over the indie office again.
I'd love to. I feel today I had the best bike ride, and I feel like I'm 35 and I'm ready to go. Put me in, coach.
Let's do it.
Rob, you wouldn't believe the compliance now from what I've heard, from what it's done over the past 20 years.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I mean, it was wonderful. We could concentrate on doing what we're, remember, two jobs, right? You got two jobs. Get your clients and coach your clients. Get more from your existing clients and bigger clients. Not more. We used to say more new clients. Now we don't want more. We want bigger ones. Get rid of the little ones. Grow. Simple game. If you're doing something other than those two things, you're not doing your job. That's it. Coach your clients. Think about your clients being centers of influence, Salesforce. So you've got 70 clients who are all salesmen for you out there bringing in business, bring in new introductions. That's what they should all be doing. You got to train them. So anyway, I should get to know some more people in Nashville so I can refer you.
I don't know. Awesome.
I'm in my little pod here.
Well, you stay in your little pod so you can see Miss Juliet. So that's more important right now.
I'm telling you, we're having more fun. I mean, every year gets better. It's just
awesome.
So, yeah, children are fabulous. Grandchildren are a miracle. And this has been the best time. I tell people, you know, I've had the pleasure of traveling all over the world looking for something. And I didn't realize it was right under my nose the whole time. It was a grandchild. And now I don't have to go anywhere. I'm not going anywhere.
And Sam, I can wait on the grandchildren. Did you hear me, Rob? I told her I could wait on the grandchildren.
Get busy, Sam. Yeah, it's so funny. You know, you see these shows with the mother always bugging her daughter. When are you getting married? When are you getting married? Now I know why.
Now I know why. Exactly.
Anyway. So I don't know. What else?
I don't think we have anything. I don't have anything else. Do you, Tyler, Sam?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. I mean, things are going well. I do look forward to the day.
Everything seems to be working pretty well.
Well, if you got $1 billion, they're going pretty well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty exciting.
And thanks to you, you help us a lot. I mean.
Well, I mean.
Ways.
I try. I no, you guys have done that. I mean, it's been, we planted good seeds in your oak trees now. You know, there were little trees. We just made sure they grew.
Oh, great. How old that means for oak tree.
Now you're big. Now you're big and strong.
Yeah.
You won't blow over.
No. Nope.
Which so what will the revenues be this year?
You know what? I don't have that up right now.
Sure, I can get it. I can get it up real quick, Kim.
Okay. I can't. I'm just gonna hit PMAC.
Yeah, it looks like revenue is gonna be about 5.5¾.
Wow.
And then production is gonna be about 4.5.
So I had you at 4.5.
Slight rounding, but close enough.
Was that revenues?
No, revenues is
the last year.
We're at 5.6 right now in revenue. That's what we're annualizing.
That's great.
Kim, I show 5.75. Where do you see that at?
You're at 37.
We're in 37.40. annualized revenues as of August 31.
That's weird. I'm getting, let me see what's going on here.
Tyler, you just get paid on the big one.
That's yeah. Maybe I don't know. That's weird. Okay, yeah.
You have different number, really?
I changed the splits when nobody was looking.
Yeah, I had you at 929 million last year. So that would be 70 million you brought in this year, or rate, you know, how much of that is market increase and how much of that is new assets?
Net new money. Let's see, that's probably on a difference. Net new, yeah, here we go. We've brought in 43 million year to date.
So Kim, this is really interesting. I don't know what I was looking at before. I see the same numbers as you.
Okay, good.
But I just noticed this. We're up 42 million year to date, but we're up 50 million fee based.
Wow.
That's huge. Yeah.
You know why? That's the market too.
Yeah, part of that's the market. That absolutely. But part of that, I think a lot of.
Oh, so you converted some.
Yeah. I think that's, yeah. Mm-hmm. You said it was 50-something?
50, yeah.
So we've, yeah.
Yeah, almost 50 on the number.
Mm-hmm. Wow. How many clients do you actually, how many households do you show?
It's probably right around 200, but.
I show 175. I show 175, 250 plus.
Because I had you at 179 last year.
And Rob, that's kind of misleading because, like, we have, that's households, right, Tyler?
Yes. Yep.
And the reason I say that, Rob, think about your family. I have, you know, Courtney and Simon and Chris and Kate in your household.
Right.
So. I do that for all of, you know, or we, not I, we do that for all of our big clients because that gives them all favorite.
That's reasonable though, Kim, because you don't really give them 12-4-2, you know.
We talk to them quarterly.
Yeah, they're butlers. So that's,
yeah. But I just think we have more households than we say 179, but it's really probably more, you know, probably like 220.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Would you agree, Ty?
That's probably fair.
Yeah. Anymore, not even, yeah.
You're trying to handle around 40 or 50 clients.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, it's probably a little higher than that, each of us, you mean?
Yeah.
It's probably a little higher than that, Rob, but that is the goal, to be around 50, 60. The Sam's just not coming on. Didn't really have any clients.
Have you thought about becoming private wealth advisors?
No, but I am thinking about, trying to do, I've been talking to a guy about becoming a GIC, which is the, what does it stand for? Global Institutional Consultant, I think it is. Because there's not one in Indiana. And in order to do certain kind of business, you have to be appointed. So, like, I was talking to somebody about one of our clients, and he was like, well, you have to team up with the team in Chicago. I'm like, I'm not doing that. And he's like, well, your team might be able to become one because we meet all the requirements. So I am looking into that, but I have not.
What does it do?
So it's to work with institutional investors because we have a large institutional account. In order to have access to certain products, you have to be appointed by this. It's more like a kind of on the, Rob, I'd say like the old days, like what we used to do, like, you know, with institutions, like what Bruce and I did.
Yeah.
That's something along that line.
You don't have anybody there doing that anymore. Bruce isn't doing that anymore at all, right?
No. Mm-mm.
Well, that would be interesting.
Anybody in Indiana that does it, they told me. They're the ones brought up to me, like, after I was talking, because they know I'm not going to give up. They want me to expose my they promise that they don't, like, you know, come after your clients or anything, but I was like, no, thank you.
You know that 20 minutes later, that account would be gone. They'd say, well, this happened.
Right. Yeah, you know how it works. So the gentleman, he's like the one that brought up to you, goes, well, why don't you guys just become one? We don't have one in Indiana. So that was just like a week and a half ago, and Trent's been sick, so I need to have a conversation with the four of us and decide if that's maybe a route we want to look at. They act like we're pretty I mean, we've got all the qualifications, so it wouldn't be hard.
You wouldn't be prospecting those guys. You'd just be...
No, but the thing is, like, what happens is because I wasn't one, I had to share my production with these guys. You have to have one on your team. So they're getting all this free production and doing nothing, you know, or they'll still apply it one way or the other, you know. So,
right. So do you actually have to share?
Yeah, I actually have to share.
Oh, God.
Yes. You have to share.
If you don't do it, right?
To put their access, huh?
Yeah.
It's not on all your accounts. It's
if we don't get the accreditation.
Right, right. But I'm thinking that you're, with $1 billion now, you guys can be private wealth advisors. I mean, it just, you know, private bankers or whatever they call them today. They change the names all the time. But you know what I'm saying? You could be.
Yeah. Marty Greger's one. And Christian.
Mm-hmm. Well, you probably have more assets than he has now.
We might. I don't, because they don't post numbers anymore, Rob, so you don't know.
You don't have a clipboard and you go down and check everybody's numbers every day?
No. They took that away a long time ago because somebody was saying, I don't know. It was some kind of complaint.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know that. Why don't you have a meeting and think about it and talk about it? The GIC thing will just protect you from people stealing money from you. But the private wealth or the private banking designation would give you access to banking opportunities, meaning new issue, you know, company goes public and they need somebody to talk to their CEO. They'll always go to the private wealth advisors. They won't go to you guys. And
gotcha.
So you'll miss opportunities you should get. So
okay.
I think you want to I think you want to get away from this retail. How do I say it? I think you want to get away from this retail environment. But they want you to open up banking accounts and checking accounts and things like that.
Yeah.
You gotta somehow get yourself free from that. Okay? And so either you do it one way or you do it another. But I think I think this is a good idea.
Yeah, I think there's a minimum though, Rob, that you can only deal with, and maybe they don't stick to it, but I thought all your clients had to be above a certain level. Do you remember that?
They gotta be above 5 million. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I remember too.
And that'll be fine. You can do that. You can
But I have like a lot of my clients are in the 3 million range. They're like easy clients.
Yeah, but you can always have a subsidiary.
Okay. Yeah. Like leave somebody behind where they're like in that plane in that field
Sam can be in that subsidiary for a while.
Mm-hmm. That's what you mean. I think it's what Chris Jacobs did with Margo, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think you just go ahead and you and Trent become private wealth advisors, which is what you should be doing anyway, and let the others go to other teammates. And even if you'd have to somehow make, you know, just figure out the politics. But you want to get away from this. You have to open up banking accounts or it'll hurt your comp and all that stuff. You know, I can't imagine they're going to do that to Raj, right? Raj Bhatia with one.
Right. Yeah. You wouldn't think so. Mm-hmm.
With 1.6 billion, nobody's bugging him. So let's get away from the bugging thing and get into a little higher.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. I just think that there's different ways to skin the cat besides having to leave, you know. Let's figure out what that is. And I think that would make sense since it really, I mean, you know, in your world, I think there's plenty of room for another team. You got teams anyway. You might as well become one of them. You got the money now. That gives you the prestige and, you know, nobody can say, well, you guys, you know, and it's not like you don't know what you're doing or you need more training or you need a CFA or you need a CFP or you need a SEMA or any of that stuff. You got all that, you know, you don't have a CFP, I don't think. You got everything else and that's fine.
Kim's got the CFP.
Nice. Really? You don't have the CFA. You don't have the CFA is what I meant.
Oh, I don't have a CFA.
Trent has CFA, I think.
No, Trent
he has a CFA. No. No, he's got a SEMA.
Oh, he has a SEMA.
He's got his SEMA. So Sam,
we don't have a CFA.
Sam can get her CFA.
There you go.
Don't do it, Sam. Don't do it.
It's really hard.
I've heard nightmares about that test.
It's really hard, but it'd be a good test. You'll know everything. You'll be able to put these guys under your feet.
Go to New York or something.
Yeah, I know. We don't want to lose her. Okay, so I got to run, but good call.
Hey, Rob, on your personal quick?
Yeah.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
So on the IFT account we have, that's, you know, the 02334, which is on the taxable side. You know, we took IFT off and we've left it off and we just kind of been taking money from that account and buying stuff in MLPA. Are you going to add the growth model back on that or no? And do you know what I'm talking about? You took the growth model off and we haven't been buying anything in there. And every time you buy something, we put it in MLPA, you know, that 0233.
The growth model is Trent's model.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's where we raised a lot of cash and he's been.
And we've been using that cash to buy things in MLPA. If you buy XYZ, we just move the cash over to pay for it in MLPA.
Right. I don't know.
Open and just put like client discretion on it and not put the growth model on it right now?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, what do you think is in my best interest?
Well, why don't we put it in client discretion right now? And then if you want to go back into it, we can always add it back.
Okay.
Because you've been using that to buy all these, you know, we did the IRA first, but now we're out of cash, so we're buying it in the MLPA.
Right.
So we've been, you know, using that cash to do that. So let's just put it as client discretion, keep the model off, and then we can always add it later.
Okay. I don't want to miss any good ideas, though.
Oh, well.
What if we make it still advisor discretion, but like personalized? And then we can, if we need to do a trade in that IFG account, we can still do it if it's a good idea, but it's not.
He's saying he doesn't want to miss any good ideas. So if he's not in the model, he might miss them. Right, Rob? Is it what you're saying?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll just have to talk to Trent about that and he'll have to understand that if it's something he has strong conviction about, he has to just place the trade outside the.
Brady won't remember. That's what I get worried about.
Yeah.
Think he'll just sell something and buy something and.
Mm-hmm. And not remember.
Right. And I might get upset.
I know. I don't want. Yeah. I understand. All right. Let me think about it. We have a call next Monday, but let me think about it. A work around.
Yeah, I also, and I'm doing my taxes, I saw that that one account, the account for our real estate, Hubert actually made $1,000.
How would that have happened?
I think you invested.
Oh, Kim, last year interest rates were good. It's probably in the money market.
You put it in the money market fund, and then it earned $1,000, and then it was gone. At least that's the way it looked, because I was like, wait a minute, that account has zero in it. How's that possible?
That shouldn't have ever had cash in it. I'll have to look at it, Rob. I don't know.
This is from 2019. I got an income like $1,000, and I, you know.
I can't think of why you've gotten that.
It was. So,
all right, let me look into it, Rob.
That's just interest. Yeah, it made it.
In the Q-Bert, there's no assets in there.
That's right. Last year in June, 675 came in.
Oh, you know what?
And then
it
made $500 of interest.
Oh. It's because you sold the house and got it back.
So we put in that BlackRock money mark.
Okay. Right.
It was for 2 months interest.
Okay.
There you go.
I forgot that because we invested it while you were waiting to buy your Tennessee home. Okay.
So I looked up activity and saw it and said, oh, okay, I made the money. No, it's not. Only weird
thing
that's gone on.
Okay. Hey, Rob, also on your IPOs.
Yeah.
On your IPOs, I'm just going to send you, anytime there's a new IPO, I'm going to send you the prospectus so we get every idea across to you.
Yes.
If there's anything that looks really hot, I'll give you a call. But otherwise, we'll just wait to hear back if it's something that fits your appetite.
That would be good. I'm really interested in the – you know, the TikTok kind of thing, or, you know, something that's, you know, interesting and medical technology, you know what I like, technology, medical technology, something like that. The SPACs, the SPACs are not that really that interesting for me, unless you know that it's a guy that's just a money machine. I'm really more interested in finding the next NVIDIA, the next, you know, great company.
Sure.
Okay. But I appreciate you setting me up on that.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks, Rob. Right.
Thanks, guys. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.